السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعدوان إلا على الظالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to imagine yourself in another existence, waking up, and you're waking up in a ballroom. And in this ballroom, everything is halal. I'm not talking about haram. You just wake up and it's a party. Everyone is having a good time. Everyone is eating and drinking. Everyone is socializing with one another. And in the midst of this good time, you wake up to it and you have no idea how you got to the party. You have no idea what your name is or the names of everyone else's. You don't really understand where you are. You don't really understand the purpose of this gathering, but everyone is having a good time. It's a 5-star ballroom. The carpet is nice. You have nice chandeliers. You have good food, good drink. And you ask someone and you say, "Where am I?" And they don't give you the answer. And then they continue to give you something else to eat and something else to drink, and you continue on and you start socializing, but you say, "What am I doing here?" And no one has the answer. "How did I get here?" No one has the answer. And you continue to go forward. If you were in that situation, no matter how nice the chandelier was, how good the food was, how good the drinks were, how great the socializing was, you're going to become increasingly frustrated, and at some point you're going to lose your mind because you don't know why you're here. It doesn't matter how great everything is, I don't understand what is in the first place. And so when we talk about creation and when we talk about the question of why we are here, the question of existence as a whole, I want to give you something very simple to start off this entire conference. If I understand why, then how and what will always be easy. If I understand why, then how and what will always be easy. If I understand why, then how and what will always be easy. If I gave you two contrasting images now, and these are not images that are made up, and it's not like the first situation that I gave you, but these are very real things that we see on a daily basis. You see a person who has the entire world given to them. They have the money, they have the fame, they have the islands, but in the midst of sitting in that paradise and being adorned and being adored, they have no idea why they are here, and so they dwell in misery and they die in misery. Compared to someone who seemingly has nothing, who has just a little bit to be able to pay their rent, to be able to feed their families, and just gets by, but somehow seems so much more satisfied. And the reason being is purpose. And when you talk about purpose, you cannot just talk about purpose 5 times a day. You cannot just frame purpose within a very difficult time in your life. You cannot figure out why you are here when something really bad happens to you, when it's hard to think in the first place, when your senses are dulled. But you have to actually have a regular relationship with purpose and the sense of purpose. And so this is what I want to speak to you about today. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation around us, He doesn't talk about the creation around us so that we can neglect it and that we can pay attention to it only momentarily. You know, when Allah tells you about the mountains and the skies and the trees and the water and these types of things, Allah doesn't just want you to think about that in salah when you have your head down. This is for you to pay attention. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. When Allah talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alteration of night and day, the wind that you feel, the boat that you see sailing, the sunrise as it comes, the sunset as it goes, the grass around you, the sand around you, the creation of Allah, all of that is for what? To be an ayah, to be a sign for you to be in constant interaction
with this idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being not just great, but you being in consistent observance of that greatness. And so here's what I want us to do. Not just frame purpose in our five prayers, but framing it in our entire lives. And so I'm going to give you a snapshot of what your life looks like through the concept of purpose, knowing why you are here, and in the process, the how and the what becomes easy. When the Prophet ﷺ talks about the branches of Iman, the branches of faith, and he says that Iman has 70 something branches. And he said ﷺ that the highest of them is La ilaha illallah. The highest branch of faith is La ilaha illallah. And the way that the ulama connected this is that that branch is the branch from which all the other branches of faith come out. That first branch of La ilaha illallah, and then all the rest of them come out. That first branch of there is no God but Allah. There is no creator but Allah. There is no sustainer but Allah. There is no one worth living for but Allah. There is no one worth unconditional obedience except Allah. All of that, all of the branches of faith come out of that. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the highest is La ilaha illallah. And he said the lowest one is imatatul adha an al-tariq. That you remove something harmful from the road. And so the Prophet ﷺ is connecting that faith to a very small thing that you would do in your life to remove something harmful from the road. Most people would not connect that to La ilaha illallah. How do you even connect that to purpose, to the meaning of La ilaha illallah? And when the Prophet ﷺ then says that there was a man that he saw strolling in Jannah, because the only thing that he did was he saw something harmful in the road. He saw adha in the road. And he picked it up and he removed it so that the path could be eased for people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eased the path of Jannah for him. The first lesson from an aqidah perspective, from a creed perspective, is that Allah was willing to forgive this person, to enter this person into Jannah, for the smallest deed that he did in his life, because he connected it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say something very beautiful. He said, Wallahi, if I knew, أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِلَ مِنِّي سَجْدَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from me one prostration, if I knew that Allah had accepted just one of them, the تَمَنَيْتُ الْمَوْتِ, I would wish for death, because I would have already achieved the purpose of life, which is acceptance from the Creator. If I knew for sure that that one prostration, that one sajda was accepted by Allah, I would have wished for death. I want nothing more in life because it's already been given to me. But instead, we don't know where the pleasure of Allah is. So we continue to do these small things, connecting them back to La ilaha illallah, hoping that just one of them, Allah looks at and Allah finds us worthy of His acceptance. So that's the first lesson from this hadith. But the second thing is not just that this person was walking on the side of the road and saw something harmful and removed it. It's that that person connected it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was intentional about what he was doing. He was purposeful about what he was doing. He made a mental, an emotional, a spiritual connection to that act. And that's something special. That's what takes a small deed and makes it a mountain in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's not the size of the good deed that makes it accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the heart that's performing the good deed and making that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's not a person that just figured that out in one moment. That is a person that has been working on himself. That's a person that sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that he does. That made a connection between the garbage that was on the street and the obligation that he has to the one who created that street. And how do we make a connection then? You know, you can't be listening to a lecture and listening to someone talk about this and say, MashaAllah, imatatul adha an al-tariq, removing something harmful from the road. And you say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you finish your Coke can and throw it on the road and continue to walk on your way to the masjid. You hear another hadith, one about a man, another about a woman, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a man, a very famous hadith that we all talk about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a man who was thirsty one day. And so he went to
a well. He saw a well in the desert and he drew some water from that well, and then he saw a dog that was thirsty. And when he saw the dog that was thirsty, most of us would paraphrase the hadith and we'd say he went and he got some water for the dog too. But there's something else to it. That man looked at the dog as the dog was thirsty and said that that dog has become thirsty just like I was thirsty. مِثْرُ الَّذِي بَلَغَنِي مِنَ الْعَطْشِ. Just like I was thirsty, that dog too is thirsty. So he made a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave me something to drink when I was thirsty. And my position to the Creator is a far greater variation, is a far greater distance of glory than what is between me and that dog, that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And someone might not make the connection at all. You know, a religious Muslim, a dog might come to them, and when they see the dog, they'll say, Astaghfirullah, najas. They'll kick the dog away. That's how you practice your religion. No, this man thought, you know, I am not greater in the sense of rank. I am not greater or more worthy of being taken care of than that other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a creation of Allah too. And Allah took care of me. Who am I to deserve that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is that dog to deserve it from me? And he took his shoe and he filled it with water and he brought it back to that dog. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And so Allah showed gratitude to him. He didn't give water, he gave water to the dog. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thank him? Because the man did that, connecting that small act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connecting that vulnerability of that creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his own vulnerability with the creation. That I was in need of him and he took care of me. This animal is in need of me and I can take care of it in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of me. And Allah enters a person into Jannah. It's not simply giving someone something simple, but it is making a very deep connection in the process of it. So when you have purpose, your small good deeds, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا, you do not belittle any of your good deeds because you realize that the one you're doing those good deeds for is Allah. You're connecting it to creation, to the Creator. Likewise, when you commit a sin, as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah commented on this idea that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تحقرن أو إياكم ومحقرات الذنوب, beware of belittling sins. He said, don't look at صغر المعصية, لا تنظر إلى صغر المعصية. Don't look at the smallness of the sin, but look at the greatness of the one that you've disobeyed. Al-Azim, Al-Kabir. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Uthma, the greatness of the one that you have disobeyed. So don't belittle your good deeds. Don't belittle your sins. But you frame that once again with the context of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, you see the moon so beautiful, the moon of Sha'ban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see the moon of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. I want all of you to take a moment and to look up at it. And to look up at how clear and how beautiful it is. You think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just puts that for us just to give a little bit of light in our lives? Or does He put that for us to also put a light in our hearts to be reminded of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are signs that are ever present to show you that you don't put your purpose or your religion in a break. You use it at all times to channel how you interact with everything. And so the first thing, framing your good deeds, the small good deeds. And you know, subhanAllah, we talk about these things as if Allah only used to accept people back then. But I want you to think about someone elderly in your family that had a good habit, a habit of khair, something good that they used to do. I remember there was someone in from my family, an aunt, may Allah have mercy on her, and she used to always take some food for the birds. She had the bird feeder. And, you know, one time, one of her children asked her why she wouldn't miss doing so. She only traveled away from her home one time. You know, they didn't have the luxury that we have of traveling all the time. She only traveled one time from her house. And she kept on being concerned when she was asking about her home that they made sure that the bird feeder was full. And she, you know, when she was asked about why she was so diligent, and these are stories that we have in our families of just
righteous people that do small things on the side. She said, is it not that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustain us the way that He takes care of the birds? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you were to have true tawakkul, true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you would be like the birds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always keep your stomach full. You leave your house in the morning, you come back, and you know that you're going to have your sustenance provided to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't we have that expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If that's the case, why don't we interact with His creation in the same way? So think about small good habits, a small good deed that is between you and Allah that people don't expect of you, but through it you seek Allah's mercy, and you make particularly a connection between that small good deed and your smallness in this world, your own vulnerability in this world, and keep it up on a daily basis, and you don't know which one of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept. Purpose is what takes the deeds that we do on a daily basis that are neutral in their nature and connect them to the Creator and that which is around us and enters us into Jannah. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, إِنِّي لَأَحْتَسِبُ نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ قَوْمَتِي, that I seek the reward of my sleep the way I seek the reward of my qiyam, the way I seek the reward of my praying at night. Because when I go to sleep, I have that purpose, that intention, that I'm not sleeping for the sake of sleep, I'm sleeping for the sake of Allah. I'm sleeping so that I could wake up energetic and serve and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, you know, I was thinking about this as I was thinking about what I would say tonight. I was thinking about, you know, if you summarize your day and the way that your life usually becomes, and in fact, many of us become frustrated because life becomes too routine. I go to work, I earn, I come home, family, do this, go to sleep, and these types of things. I mean, it's basically career. You keep on working and we're working harder and harder and harder and harder. Or you're at home and you're constantly, you know, you're taking care of the house and I'm working harder and harder and harder. It's work, family, exhaustion, sleep, and that's it. And I can't think of anything else. I've got to earn my money so that I can sustain my family. And I keep on earning so I can keep on sustaining my family. And I don't feel meaning in my life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not let your families and your wealth distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you reclaim that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to view the daily mundane habits as habits to bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't want you to quit your job unless it's haram. Okay? Just so no one takes a snippet of that. You know, in the United States, they always take snippets of our stuff. Alhamdulillah, there's only one news microphone that's here. Not to quit your job, unless it's haram. As long as it's halal, alhamdulillah. But think about your job as a means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the recognition part of it. Allah doesn't want you. You know, there was once a man that was very harsh to his kid. And, you know, I said to him, why are you being so harsh? He says, Allah says in the Qur'an that your families are aduwwan lakum, fakhshawhum. They're your enemies. So you should be aware of them. Your spouses, your children, they're your enemies, fakhshawhum. But the Prophet ﷺ said, khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahli. The best of you are those that are best to their families. So what's the connection between the two? Instead of viewing your wealth, your earning, your household chores, your families, and all of those things as things beyond your purpose of life, things that are outside, things that are contrary, because then the more religious you get, the more you're going to grow resentful of those things. Instead of viewing it that way, view them as part of the package of purpose and spirituality. And you say, how? You know how I tell you? Some of us might not live to see Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live to see Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Everyone say ameen. May Allah allow us to live to see Ramadan. Don't just think that because you've seen the moon of Sha'ban, you'll see the moon of Ramadan as well. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Some of us might not live to see it. But you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, الطاعم الشاكر بمنزلة الصائم الصابر. That's such a beautiful hadith. The one who eats and is grateful has the same rank as the one who fasts and is patient. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sama Ramadan an imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever fasts Ramadan with faith and perseverance and seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever eats and says, alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqnihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. All praises are due to the one who fed me this without any doing of my own, without any power or capacity of my own. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. All of his previous sins are forgiven. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something as mundane. You know, when you think about, we barely even remember to say bismillah and alhamdulillah when we eat our food. But a person who really makes it a point to say alhamdulillah, where did this come from? Alhamdulillah. Even though I earned all day to put this food on my family's table, I know that it was Allah. I know that I didn't do this myself. You made a connection. When you're getting dressed in the morning, and you're getting dressed so fast, you're not even thinking about it. You're quickly throwing on things. And the Prophet ﷺ said, in that is a moment where a person looks up, says, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani hadha thawb min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. All praises be to the one who dressed me with this dress without any doing or capacity of my own. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. All of his previous sins would be forgiven. Why? Because the purpose of fasting is to make you more conscious. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the purpose of Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. وَلِتُكْمِنُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you finish that period and you become more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's something that you can be practicing on a daily basis. And so instead of seeing all those other things that you do in life, family, career, life, as outside of your purpose and existence, and one day I'm going to go to the masjid and live the rest of my life reading Quran, and I'll be like that pious elderly person I see in my family. See your career, see your family, see your food, everything that you do, every form of kindness. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned intimacy between the spouses. وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. That if a person is intimate with their spouse, that there's a charity in that. Why? Because if you would have done it in a haram way, then you would have been punished. So Allah rewards you when you do it right. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the morsel of food that you put of kindness in your family's mouth, that's the most beloved charity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you remember that woman that Aisha radiallahu anha saw? And she was poor and she only had 3 dates, and she gave 2 to her kids, 2 of her children, and she was about to eat her own. But in a moment of taqwa, she saw her children naturally wanting an extra piece of the date. And as she was about to eat it, she instead tore her date in half and gave 1/2 to each of her children. And Allah assured her Jannah through the Prophet ﷺ through that. These are the types of occurrences that happen in our daily lives. Instead of seeing these things around us as distractions, use them to propel you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not distractions unless you allow them to be distractions. They can instead be vehicles of taking you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you start to frame purpose in everything that you do. If I was to ask someone, when is the last time you prayed istikhara? You know, the istikhara is a prayer, and it's something that usually comes up in the context of marriage. I swear, some people only pray istikhara when they want to get married. There is more to istikhara than marriage. The companions used to pray it for things that maybe we would consider small things in life. But the idea of asking Allah for guidance for the affairs that you embark upon, even if you might see them as very small affairs, but you ask Allah for guidance, that shows that you are bringing Allah into your decision making on a regular basis. Don't just leave it. The Prophet ﷺ did not just give it to us just for marriage, so that when your marriage isn't working out, you can blame your istikhara. Or you could blame the sheikh who told you to pray istikhara and say, he didn't tell me to pray istikhara, right? And by the way, there are no dreams in istikhara. If you see the person that you wanted to marry because you prayed istikhara, that's probably not because of the istikhara. That's because you were thinking about the person when you went to sleep. You don't see colors in istikhara. This was to bring Allah into our decision making. That's why the companions were taught to pray it so much by the Prophet ﷺ. And so you frame so far in purpose your small good deeds, your regular day-to-day deeds, your more important life decisions, and that's where istikhara comes in, right? You rock the boat a little bit. And then this is where I really want to bring us to. Most people do not actually try to figure out their role here in existence, their purpose in life, until the project of ghafla, the project of heedlessness, fails them. I thought that I could consume myself to happiness. I thought that if I worked a little bit harder, got a little bit of a bigger house, got a little bit more money in my bank account, got this person in my life, had this in my social life, I thought happiness was going to work out, and it didn't work out the way that I wanted to. And most people don't start asking the questions of existence and creation until something really devastating happens to them that shakes their life up. You know, remember the very first example that I started off with? And those of you that came late, I'm not going to repeat the example. You can watch the recording, inshallah. Now, I mentioned the example of a person that's sitting in a room that's everything is great around them, but they don't know why they're there. Imagine an asteroid hitting that room. Something devastating happening. At that moment, then people wake up. And they start to think, wait a minute, what's happening here? Why is this perfect world suddenly being shaken? Most of us don't start to ask the questions of purpose and existence and try to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until something like that happens. And that is a major problem. Because when you are in devastation, when something hard happens to you, that's not the time to form a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or purpose. That's a time to act upon a relationship that you've already been building. Now, for some of us that are fortunate, when something bad happens, it pulls us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرِّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in rakha, in ease. Allah will know you in hardship. Know Allah in prosperity. Allah will know you in adversity. What that means is that getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when something hard happens to you and it's a reminder, it's a wake-up call, that doesn't mean you know Allah because you cried and you prayed. It's a warning to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of stability, in times of ease. Allah will know you in hardship and when things are disturbed. What does that mean? That means that because you have already been seeing Allah through the daily things that you do, you've been pursuing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with small good deeds that other people don't even think about. You've been pursuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've been connecting yourself to a sense of purpose with your work, with your family, with your life. You're not trying to remove those from the realm of spirituality. They're part of your spirituality. So because you were able to know Allah in ease, and because you were able to know Allah when things were just neutral, now when hardship comes to you, you immediately connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to think for a moment about the hardest thing that ever happened to you, the worst thing that ever happened to you, the most difficult moment of your life. And I want to go to that moment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ta'if, but I don't want to just look at the incident of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ta'if in isolation. I want us to look at the incident of Ta'if in the context of the way that the Prophet ﷺ connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his day-to-day life. The hardest time of the life of the Prophet ﷺ was Ta'if. We all know that. Everything that used to be a source of stability was taken away from him. And this is actually very important. This is a dimension we don't usually think about with Ta'if. You know, when one part of your life shakes, you tend to run to another part of it that feels stable. So if one relationship, think about, you know, I asked you to bring to your memory the hardest thing that ever happened to you. If it involved a person, psychologically, you're gonna run to a relationship that you feel is more stable, right? So one friend really hurt me, so I'm gonna go complain to another friend, and in the process of you know, talking about how devastating that friendship was, I'm going to actually nurture this friendship here. It's a source of stability. Family falls apart, I kind of run to my career and I make sure that my career now is stable. I try to lean on what's stable. One part of my life shakes psychologically, I immediately run to the part of my life that I feel is stable ground, because that's now shaky ground. With the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Ta'if, he doesn't have Khadija radiallahu anha anymore, who wrapped him the first time and said, Wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. I swear that Allah will never abandon you, would never disgrace you. He doesn't have the warmth of Khadija. He doesn't have the protection of Abu Talib to say that even if the people were to persecute me, and even if I don't necessarily believe in his message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are my nephew, I will protect you, you deserve protection. He doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't have financial stability. He doesn't even have his home, regular home to run to. He's got no stable ground. He doesn't have a large group of followers. Family's gone, wealth is gone, followers are gone, everything is gone. What is his stable ground, alayhi salatu wassalam? And imagine those moments, which no movie could depict, when you're getting stoned in the face, blood running down your body, your shoes filling with stones, and you have nothing. You've been humiliated emotionally, mentally tortured for 14 days, and you're looking up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I don't see anything. And you know, a lot of times, when we talk about that, we mention the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was offered the opportunity to wipe everybody else out, to actually take out his grievances, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the people. Give the command and the angels will wipe out this entire place. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want vengeance at the moment. And I want you to think about yourself for a moment. If you were the Prophet ﷺ in that moment, how much anger and vengeance would you have? I don't care anymore, wipe these people out, I'm done. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't look at the people, he looked up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ understood the why. And so even if the how and the what were hard, he understood the why strong enough that all of that could be put in perspective. You know, when something bad happens to us, a lot of times we ask, why, Allah, are you doing this to me? Why me? What did I do? Because I didn't get why right, then now my what and my how are messed up too. Why, Allah, did you do this to me? And then the next question is, what did I do to deserve it? As if the earth was here and everything was here to honor you and amuse you. And then, how do I get myself out of it? So your what and your how are not correct because your why is messed up. Your question is, why are you doing this to me, oh Allah? You're not interacting with the creation and the creator properly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already had the why right. Why am I here? I am here for the purpose of service. I am not here for the purpose of being served. I am here for the purpose of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know why I'm here. Therefore, the first question the Prophet ﷺ asks is, ماذا أراد الله مني? What does Allah want from me? And how do I earn His pleasure? He wasn't concerned about the outward part of it. It hurt him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hurt, and we hurt. But that sense of purpose that he'd been nurturing, and Allah had been nurturing in him for all those years, it really came to be. The Prophet ﷺ did not have, even in his lowest moment there, a why did Allah do this to me moment. Instead, it was immediately to, what can I do for Allah? How do I please Allah with this moment? إِنَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as all this happening is not a manifestation of your anger with me, O Allah, then I don't care. I'll continue to persist. I'll continue to move forward. You don't get that type of persistence and that type of resilience and that type of connection to Allah out of nowhere. That's not a sudden fatah, a sudden expanse. That's something that you nourish and you work on when you bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know Allah in good times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know you in bad times. Know Allah when things around you are relatively stable. Nothing is ever perfect. And we would be fools to think that everything around us could ever attain full stability. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're always unstable in some form of our lives. And wallahi, you look at other people sometimes and you think, mashallah, everything is great with that person's life. He or she must have it all. But know that if Allah is testing you with one thing, He's testing that person with something else. Allah is purifying them of a weakness. Know that if you're being tested with your wealth and that person is not, Allah is testing them with their health or with their family or their relationship. Know that if you're being tested with your health but not your wealth, Allah is testing someone else with something different. Every single one of us has their share of tests. But you know why Allah Azza wa Jal does that to us? Because He loves us. Because He cares about us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we could remember our purpose in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Allah has placed in our lives these a'rad. A'rad are hindrances. You know, there are different words for tests in the Quran and the Sunnah. Bala, ibtila, fitan. All of these are words that Allah describes tests with. A'rad are hindrances. They're like hooks. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if one of them misses you, another one gets you. What is the point of these a'rad, these hindrances? They slow you down and they remind you so that you don't go crashing into a wall of heedlessness. They remind you of purpose. So Allah takes away a little bit of your health to remind you that there will come a time that you will have no health whatsoever. Allah pinches you with your wealth so that you know that there will come a time that you will have no wealth whatsoever. Allah pinches you with your family so that you know that there will come a time that you will have no family, no relationships whatsoever. Allah pinches you with these things, holds you back, not to torture you, not to harm you, so that you could wake up to your purpose and be purified with that. And alhamdulillah for what Allah gives to us. Because you know when I mentioned to you right now to think about that hard moment in your life, if you were to be honest with yourself, that hard moment in your life that maybe you could not see through is a big part of why you are who you are today and why you are here today and why you are trying to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one likes harsh wake-up calls. You know, I tell this story, my mom, may Allah have mercy on her, rahmatullah alayha, she used to wake me up for fajr. And you know, sometimes some of the mothers, may Allah bless you all, and there's no heart like the heart of a mom. You speak to the mashayikh and you say, mashallah, how did you become like this? Like, were you like this as children too? Like, you know, we woke up reading Quran, we came out of our mother's bellies and we said, Inni Abdullah, you know, I am the servant of Allah, and you read Quran your whole life and you were wonderful. No, all of us, I'm not going to speak for Mufti Mink and Sheikh Abdul Rahim, mashallah, maybe they actually did have that childhood. May Allah bless our mashayikh. I'm talking about myself. I remember Salat al-Fajr. And you know moms who wake your kids up for Fajr? And some of the kids are going to hate me in here for this. My mom, you know how she used to wake me up for Fajr? Cold water. And it hurt. She used to bring the cold water to the room and she would drip it on my forehead. Until I woke up. And subhanAllah, wallahi there are still days, and my mom, may Allah have mercy on her, has passed away over a decade ago. And there are still days that I could feel those drops on my forehead. I wake up in the morning and I can still feel those drops on my forehead. And I say, alhamdulillah for that, because that was formative. That was teaching me, getting me inclined to understand the world around me, that you have to wake up. You've got to do what you've got to do. And it was done out of love. Likewise, dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these things in our lives to bring us back to that sense of purpose. Because let's be honest with ourselves. If I did not tell some of you to look up at the moon and say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanal Khaliq. How amazing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who placed that moon there, who crafted the heavens and the earth this way. You might have walked by another day and you wouldn't have paid attention. Because sometimes we don't pay attention until we're shaken up a little bit. I remember as someone who travels much, I was commenting to a brother and I said, how beautiful the sunrise is and the sunset is. And Mufti Mink is going to talk, inshallah ta'ala, to you about the signs of Allah and tadabbur and tafakkur, contemplation and introspection. And I was sharing, I said, Subhanallah, how beautiful the sunrise is in this place. And you know what he told me? He said, you know, the sun rises where you live the exact same way. But when you're on vacation and you've got a balcony, you actually take the time to look at it. It's not that the sun wasn't rising where you were, it's that you were not paying attention. So alhamdulillah for a Rabb who cares enough about us to bring us back to attention, not out of punishment or hardship, but so we can be the best version of ourselves. Because I don't want to be in the party and not know why I'm here. Instead, I'm seeking the eternal party in Jannat al-Firdaus, where I know exactly why I am there. Where the angels say, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum, fa ni'ma uqba ad-dar. Peace be unto you for the patience that you showed, the way that you used to live your life. Ni'ma ajarul amirin, that this is the work that you used to do. Remember when you were back in the world, you know exactly where you come from. In Jannah, you are reminded of the realm before. Here in this dunya, you have no recollection of where you were before you came here. In Jannah, you are seeing the fruits of the work that you did. In this dunya, you are working for a realm that you do not see until you leave it. In Jannah, you know why you got to the party, you know how you're in the party, you know what to do in the party, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow all of us to be admitted into that party. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He be pleased with us, that He grant us a great sense of purpose, that He allow us to interact with His signs, whether they are personal signs in our lives, or the glorious signs that are ever present around us that remind us of Him, or if it's our daily deeds, or the small good deeds, or the sins that we belittle. We ask Allah to make that all reason for us to come back to Him, to be brought back to attention, to be brought back to a sense of purpose. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us when we become distracted and deluded from Him. For He is the source of peace, and He is the source of mercy, and He is the source of satisfaction, and pleasing Him is our purpose. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.